time to sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is what you saved your lunch money for. Your field to the green.
Welcome to episode 165 of Passing Points Podcast, presented by Same Day Auto Repair. I'm your host, Michael Tyree. Got my co-host Travis Ashwood and Lane Goodman with me. And we've got a hopefully a good show for you. We've got a few things to talk about racing, but I'm pretty excited also. We've got a good interview here. We've got a no stranger to
the show.
How
do you know if it's good?
It's going to be good because he's no stranger to the show.
Oh, gotcha.
Cody Cordell, been on here a couple times. Cody, we're glad to have you back.
Hey, I appreciate you having me again.
Yeah, you know, we always looking for something interesting to talk about for our Speed Stick Shocks interview. And, you know, I know we're a couple weeks late here on the news, but we were finally able to work something out and get you on the show. We got to talk about all this ASCS happening the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been quite the whirlwind. You know, nothing that was expected, you know, a month ago for sure. And some things just fell into place and, you know, some life changes needed to be made and, you know, thought long and hard about it. And, you know, just thankful that my name was kind of thrown in the hat and got the call from World Racing Group. And it just seemed to fit right at this moment. You know, it's a pretty big undertaking, but I think we're up for the challenge.
So did you seek it out or did they just
not? No. So I had some, you know, so Brian Dunlap, who is basically the executive series director, kind of overseeing everything. He was one, but you know, back in 2016, 17, 18, and a little bit of 15, you know, I was the race director for Power Eye West here in Oklahoma with Eric Fenton, and he ran a show up at Garden City, I think 2 years. And, you know, this is all, you know, it gets talked about afterwards, but I had a couple people that knew him that kind of threw my name in the hat, like, hey, we think this guy would be pretty good at, you know, what you're looking for. And they told him, and he's like, you know what? I remember when he did some Garden City stuff, and there were some hard calls to be made, and he made them, and that show was really good. And so kind of got the ball rolling there, and I had no idea about any of this. And then I got a text from a friend saying, hey, just so you know, I threw your name in the hat to be race director for the ASCS. And I was like, you know, okay, you know, what are we talking about here? And then a couple of days later, Brian reached out, and we started the process and the interviews and everything else. And I was very upfront with, you know, Randy Gass has given me everything I've wanted to do as a crew chief. You know, he's been great. So I was very upfront with him of what was going on. And I just told him, and he's a friend, you know, and that's one thing about Randy. We've got a great friendship. So I told him what was going on. He told me there's no doubt I need to seek it out and see what they're offering. And when they started offering things, and it just, you know, of course, talked to my wife, big decision, and decided to go this route. And kind of here we are 2 weeks later.
So just for some of our listeners that may not be familiar with you, if they haven't listened to episodes in the past, the past several years, I guess, you've been crew chief for Noah Gass Racing. You guys have been, the last couple of years, been on the World of Outlaw Tour. And then, you know, even starting this year, a week before, this ASCS stuff went down, you guys are down in Texas racing the 410 and actually win a race together. While, you know, essentially it looks like the future of ASCS is kind of up in the air. Nobody really knew what was going on with it, who was going to buy it, why it was for sale, all that good stuff. So kind of talk about, you know, the beginning of your year, like you said, this wasn't planned to the point of you guys are out winning 410 races together.
Well, I mean, me and Noah, you know, it's no secret of what's been going on. It's been very up and down, more downs than up, the past couple of years on the Outlaw Tour. And Noah kind of came to us me and Randy at the end of the year was like, I think I need to take a step back. I'm getting beat up on the Outlaw Tour and I just want to take a step back. And we were okay with it. I think I wanted to push him a little further too, but we were okay with it. Made some changes in the schedule. We were going to hit, still 60, 70 races this year. Just kind of an open schedule, kind of stay away from the National Touring Series, run some outlaw stuff, run some high limit, but nothing, not very many. Run more Power Eye 410 stuff, run IRA, Knoxville. We were going to hit Knoxville a lot weekly, Houston's a lot weekly, and then just kind of hit and miss. And then those elite shows popped up. And, that's kind of where we're like, well, let's just start the year there instead of going to Florida. Let's just start the year there. And I've known Noah has the speed. I watched it at Pecola at the end of last year. We went to Pecola with the Power Eye 410 deal after a week after Charlotte. And we have speed there. And then the first night out, it just kind of showed how good he is. And yeah, it was a great night. It was, you always want to know what that winning feeling feels like again. And after getting beat down for 2 years, it was kind of a satisfaction of, hey, we got what we got. We know we're fast. So it was all about that.
Yeah, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but like he seems like he's come somewhere in between like a regional and being on the World of Outlaw Tour. He's somewhere in between that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've told him like, that's what people don't understand. No one can understand until you do it. You can watch, Noah run 15th, 16th at an outlaw show and be like, man, this guy is just struggling. But then he shows up to a regional show and super fast. And, it's just the learning curve. And Lane can, Lane's been around, 410 stuff. It's such a crazy drastic change from the national guys to the kind of the local guys, minus the local PA guys or the local Knoxville guys, they're all super, super tough. But kind of when you get out in the regions, there's pockets of good guys, but Noah's got speed, and that's all from the outlaws and learning and seeing how fast and their pace is every night.
Well, weren't you guys knocking off a couple of wins the year before you guys went outlaw racing?
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, when I started with him in July, and we won a race in September, and we won like three or four that year. I mean,
he swept a weekend, if I remember right, didn't he?
Yeah, we swept a whole weekend. That was kind of the kickstart of like, man, this is, we got something rolling. Yeah,
Well, it's good. It's good to see that those results that led to the decision to move up and run World of Outlaws, and then just to see immediately, you guys are still able to do what you were doing before and probably, like you said, probably with even more speed now.
Yeah. I mean that, there's a lot of things you can watch a car and just know that it's got, more speed. And that's what I saw at Greenville. We struggled the next night at Kennedale, but it was rough and, it wasn't a good night, and, so you're still going to struggle. It's not like you're going to just show up everywhere and it's going to be, you're going to be up front. You're still going to have struggles, but I mean, a lot more times than not, you're going to be probably a contender at the regional stuff after coming off the Outlaw Tour.
So that weekend there, you guys are winning 410 race. At that point, I still think even the ASCS in World Racing Group deal hadn't even been announced. It was rumored that there was talks. So at that point, you're at the racetrack. I mean, as far as you know, for the year, that's your job, crew chief and for Noah Gas Racing, right?
Yeah, I had no intentions, of doing anything different. I mean, there was no intentions of wanting to leave. I wasn't looking to leave at all. And they hadn't acquired it that weekend. It came out, I think, Monday or Tuesday. And the next weekend is when Kennedale got canceled for the Outlaw show, and he was going to talk to me. They were going to pull me aside or something. Somebody was going to reach out to me that weekend. Well, they ended up just calling me they texted me before, and then they called me that Saturday and kind of was like, here's what's going on. You know, your name's been thrown in the hat. And then the process started.
So how was, how was that process for you and with them? I mean, and I imagine it's probably more than just accepting a position as far as what are the pay and benefits, but, you know, and how much of it went into for you, like, you know, what is their vision for the series and what are they hoping to accomplish by hiring you?
I mean, I think you kind of look at it all. At least I did. You know, what do they want to do? What, you know, is this a kind of a temporary deal? You know, are they just looking to fill a void for now? You know, I would have never made the change if I didn't think that this was something that could be, you know, a long-term, really a career-changing opportunity to kind of sustain the longevity in the sport, which is, that's been my childhood dream since I was a little kid. Is just, I've always said, you know, I want to be in the motorsports industry. And this kind of is a little more stable, I guess, kind of, I kind of control my destiny a little bit more is how I look at it. You know, crew chief's hard. It's tough. You know, you're always on the chopping block. If the car's not fast, it's not the driver's fault. It's the crew chief's, you know? So, it's tough. And I enjoy that. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy that side of it, but I think for the longevity of the sport, this was probably, that's why I made the decision I did.
Yeah. So, you kind of just led into being a career opportunity. I think personally, getting to work within the World Racing Group organization at any level is a prime opportunity to build a career within the sport of dirt track racing and sprint car racing.
Absolutely. I mean, they're the, you know, pinnacle of professionalism in dirt track, in my opinion. And it's showing. I mean, more and more every day I'm learning more and more how they work and the inner workings of the whole industry. And, you know, it brings, they have so many resources and so many things that, you know, so many people that just love the sport and are just, this is all they do. You know, this is their business to put on events and things of that nature. So, it is. I mean, it's been pretty eye-opening, but it's been pretty awesome at the same time.
So officially, what is your title with ASCS?
So my official title is competition director and national tech director for the National American Sprint Car Series.
Okay.
And then I'm also the Sooner Region Series Director.
Okay. So now I know with your announcement also came an announcement about Lonnie Wheatley. I am curious to what is the distinction between you and Lonnie as far as what it pertains to on the national tour?
So Lonnie is the series director. So Lonnie is basically my boss.
Okay.
Lonnie deals with more of the tracks and the more of the behind the scenes that people don't see. And I deal with more of the technical side, the cars and the drivers and the rules and things of that nature.
Okay. So like if we go to a national event, as far as like the drivers are concerned, like are you holding the driver's meeting? Are you talking on the race receiver or how's all that work?
Yeah. So I'll be the one conducting the driver's meetings. They'll hear my voice on the race receiver. I'm the one that kind of keeps the show rolling. Mm-hmm. Lonnie gets the show, gets everything about the show. And then when we get there, I kind of make sure the show is running what it needs to be and efficiently and making sure the rules are being, followed and things of that nature.
So what you're saying is you get to put up with all of us.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, we don't race nationals.
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying.
People like us that could drive better.
I'll meet you at the Sooner region soon.
Hey, you get to deal with us when we're mad.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. It's part of the job.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could take most of them.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't really bother me.
So, all in all, at this point, how many races are you working this year?
Well, that's kind of to be determined, but I mean, it'll be somewhere around 60, 60-ish, 65. You know, I'll probably go help the Outlaws a little bit. I'll probably help the Extreme Midget Series a little bit. There's some events that we kind of all have to go together, kind of the World Racing Group puts on. So we'll go to those, you know, like Charlotte, Volusia, PRI, you know, so different events like that. But I would say I'll probably see 60 to 80 races this year.
So going from crew chief role, I think that number is going to be down a little bit for you. So you're going to work less races this year in a completely different role. But does that leave room for you to still do a little bit of crew chief and stuff in between? I know you said you like working with Noah and you're still good friends with the team and everybody. Do you plan to work any races as far as crew chief?
Yeah. So that was something that I brought up to, you know, the people that were, you know, ahead of, or, you know, higher ups. You know, I do enjoy working on a race car. I love watching a race car go around the track and figuring it out. So, you know, that's kind of something we've talked about. You know, Noah doesn't run anything ASCS.
Yeah. So it's not a conflict of interest.
So there's no conflict of interest. You know, and the Outlaw shows that I'll be at, he will not be at. And it wouldn't even matter because I'm not making decisions like that. I'm just helping out.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of something I brought up, you know, can I still help him? And they, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, if there's no conflict of interest, you know, you can help him. And I don't know how many races that looks like right now. You know, we kind of got to, you know, me and Randy have talked, I'm going to stay on, you know, more of an advisor role type deal. Just making sure everything's still going the way it should. I know that Randy's probably made the decision to cut back quite a bit because I don't think he wants to hire anybody else right now.
Yeah.
So he wants to cut back a little bit, and there's a lot, you know, he's very busy with business, and things of that nature, and kind of just wants to chill out. And Noah wants a little break, you know, Noah wants to find his love for it. You know, a lot of people probably seen Noah's been out at the micro track the past couple weekends, you know, he's gone by himself, you know, he just kind of wants to find the love of the sport again. You know, he kind of lost that a little bit. And so I think they're going to slow down a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, don't be surprised if I jump in the rig and say, hey, let's go hit a race, or, you know, I got an open weekend. You want to go find a race and maybe catch a race or two with them.
But see, I thought I seen where Noah was practicing a midget or something too, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, and actually this week I'm still with Noah. I told that was kind of the deal. There was already plans through the end of March. So this week, he's going to run the midget on Thursday at Creek. We're going to run the World of Outlaw show on Friday at Thunderbird, run the midget and a outlaw wing micro Saturday night at Port City.
Oh, nice.
So
three different cars, huh?
Yeah. Three different cars, you know, a little extra work, but yeah, it'll be a
quarter mile.
It'll be fun.
Quarter mile to a half mile to what? An eighth mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little different.
Yeah. That's a heck of a weekend there.
So it'll be fun. You know, he wants to run the midget a little bit around home. We, you know, before all this happened, we built a pretty nice outlaw micro that we were just going to kind of keep for the shootout and maybe some bigger shows. And, you know, then that's the bad part is we had so many things rolling for this year. And then I kind of screwed it up. You know, that was not in the cards, but
it sounds like Randy understands that kind of stuff though, too, I guess.
He does. I mean, like I said, I give a lot of credit to him for the friendship. You know, he guided me a lot about some things, and he's made me, you know, look at things a little different. He's big on family, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's so worried about Penny and so worried about Carrie and me being home.
That's cool.
I know he made, when you guys were out on the road, he had made some like accommodations that helped you be able to bring them on the road as often as you could.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've worked for a lot of people and I've had some really good owners, but I mean, Randy is probably near the top. I mean, not very many guys. You know, there was one weekend it rained out on Saturday night. and the cars were ready to go. And I think we were in PA. I can't remember exactly where we were. And I wouldn't say I was homesick, you know, or anything, but he's like, hey, find a flight home. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, I'll be all right. I'll see him in a couple weeks. He goes, get a flight home. Car's ready. You don't have to be back here till Thursday. You guys get a flight. You know, sent me and Robbie at the time, the crew, you know, car chief. You guys get a flight. Go home. You know, not very many owners do that. You know, yeah. Find somewhere to park the truck and get in the plane and go home. Enjoy the week with your family, you know. And so, I mean, there's things like that he did. You know, yeah, he accommodated a lot, you know, just being a good person. You know, that's all you can ask when things like that happen.
Yeah. So,
were you thinking about going? Because I was thinking about going back to this weekend, seeing how this weekend went.
Yeah, we can do that. yeah,
we're not good at this interviewing thing. Yeah, we need a little bit more practice at it.
We don't write stuff down. yeah, no, that works. Because I was trying to circle back to ASCS anyway. So, ask your question.
I don't know what my question was. I was just going to see how this weekend went.
That's a question.
Oh.
So, for context, first weekend as director for Sooner Region at Creek County Speedway this weekend. It was a great race. Fun to watch Seth Bergman and what he pulled off. So, how was the weekend overall for you?
I thought it went well. Of course, there's going to be things that you know, are rusty at. I mean, I haven't been a race director in, 7 years? You know, so there were some things that, you know, I need to knock the rust off a little bit and get back in that habit. I thought overall, you know, the welcoming of everybody has been pretty positive. You know, I think they're glad about some new blood being in the system and the people taking it over. So I feel like that was nice to hear people, you know, you can hear it all you want, but when people get face to face and start talking about it and it's all positive, that was good to hear. You know, I already took one, but my first butt chewing this weekend. So Travis should be happy about that.
I'm not happy about it. I'm just saying it's going to happen. It's a given. So
it's part of it. I mean, I look at it as I'm the same way. We're all passionate about it. We love it, you know, and it's just part of it.
Is it in poor taste to ask what you got griped out about?
You know, somebody didn't like that I called him on a jump. I felt like it was a jump.
Oh, shit. I've been on the wrong end of that one several times.
Yeah, you know, it's a judgment call.
It is.
I get it. 100%. You know, but,
and I try to tell people, like, where you're standing at versus where I'm at is completely different vantage point.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, I'm a racer at heart. You know, and I think that's what's going to make me so good at this job. You know, I'm a racer. Yeah. You know, I think about I've been on the road for 2 years, so I think about a lot of different things than most, you know, quote unquote race directors think of. You know, I'm still
you've been on the other side of it.
Yes, I've been on. Somebody this weekend's like, Cody, you've been a driver, you've been a crew member, you've been a crew chief, you've been, you know, you've been on every aspect of, you know, this deal. You know, this should be, you know, that's where they said it was going to be a good deal for me to be, you know, in the position I'm in.
Well, I mean, you've done it before, but like when I was telling Michael when he first started, it's one of those things, probably a little bit just like being a racer, you're going to get better at it the more you do it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I did the Power Eye West deal, you know, we were averaging quite a few cars and they got pretty tough, you know, but you get more, you know, comfortable on the radio. Because, I mean, Michael can probably attest, it's nerve-wracking when you're on the, you know, you're speaking to people,
yeah,
telling them what's going on the track, trying to keep them aware. It's hard. It's a lot harder than people want to act like it is. So,
yeah, it's funny. It's funny how hard it is and nerve-wracking it is at the beginning. And then after you, like, get a half a season, three quarters of a season under your belt, and then you start, like, somebody new sees you doing it and they're like, oh man, you're such a natural at that, you make it look so easy. And I'm like, well, I'm just used to it now, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a little bit like driving a race car or something.
Right. Yeah, I think you try to talk too fast sometimes. Yeah. You know, I was just you know, everybody said they were happy with what I did, but, you know, I'm like, yeah, I could pick apart, you know, different things I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of got to get in that groove. And I feel like I got there later in the night, you know, but.
The worst part is the things that you beat yourself up about that nobody else even notices.
Oh, I know.
Well, I was about to say from the outside, we were just there observing and stuff. It looked like a great show to us. So there's that.
I'm glad. I'm glad that's what it looked like. Because behind the scenes, it seemed like it was all over the map.
No, it looked good. We were out pretty quick, and it didn't drag on. Or didn't feel like it went. Looked like it went smooth from where we were sitting.
I feel like it did. You know, and that's my goal every night. I don't want people to feel like they're rushed, but I want people on the track. Like, you know, we're in the entertainment business, mm-hmm. and so you want the product on the track to keep moving. And I think that's where you have to be stern and, you know, keep the show rolling. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily intermission being no intermission, got to go. You know what I mean? I think intermission's good for things. I think intermission, you know, like you got to spread that stuff out. And there's times to make up time, and there's times that you have to let it kind of flow mm-hmm. with what's going on. And I think that's the balance, you know, where people kind of lose that. And I think that's what makes the Outlaws so good. You know, like they get you in and get you out, but they keep you entertained. And when the track, you know, when the cars are on the track, you know, the show is moving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When the cars are off the track, there's things going on. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to have a balance of both. So everybody doesn't feel, you know, rushed or, you know, like they don't have any time.
Yeah.
You know, I always hated that as a competitor, and I'm sure you all do too. You know, you feel like I just got off the track. Like I got to make changes. Like I got to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and unless there's rain or, you know, things coming in that you can't control, like give a little time. Like, you know, you can make up that 5 minutes if you just direct a race the way I think it should be directed.
Yeah. Well, you know, and even this weekend, me and Travis walking around the pits, you know, we're visiting with people. We got to visit with a couple people, and then, you know, we hear calling for the B feature. I'm like, all right, it's time to get back up there. You know, and everything, and this is kudos to not just you and your team, but Creek County Speedway staff, because, I mean, there was an entire show ran in about,
like, 2.5 hours, 3 hours?
Yeah, 2.5 hours-ish.
3 hours.
It was 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2 hours. So, and, you know, and it was a good crowd, but it was a little bit chilly. Like, I had to put my coat on Travis because he was cold. And and that really happened. And
thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. He was crying. He was cold.
But hey, he doesn't have as much muscle as you and I do.
Yeah, muscle. Yeah. But no, it was good, man. It was a good crowd, and they got, you know, in and out. Didn't have to sit there and get too cold. That's what's going to bring people back, man. So kudos to everybody involved Saturday night. It was a great show.
I thought so myself.
Yeah. Plus, even the racing was good, too.
Oh, the racing was great. Yeah, we didn't even get into that.
Like,
I thought the track was – I told Matt, you know, and Steve and Harry, I thought the track was on point. You know, and I think you could have changed it a little bit. I probably should have let the guys – you know, I let the first group kind of roll it and hot lap again. I probably could have done that with both group or all three groups. Kind of wind it out a little for the heat races a little bit more. But most of the time, if you go to a racetrack and the heat races are kind of single file, like that's just kind of part of it. But the B feature and the features are usually pretty good.
Well, yeah. Me and Michael both before the feature was like, we need to watch Bergman from where he's sitting.
We both knew what he's capable of at Creek County Speedway. And the fact that, you know, just him having that high pill draw and kind of got mired in traffic in the heat. And, you know, just barely missed the A. He's on the front row of the B. And winning the B, yeah, we were both like, yeah, we're going to be watching Bergman. And sure enough, like we did. We didn't see – neither one of us saw Zach Chappell spin out, what happened there when leading. Neither one of us saw when Blake Hahn got around. Like, it was the whole time just watching Bergman make his moves. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at lap times, and I'm telling Travis, like, he's 2/10 faster than everybody else. Like, it was just fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I thought the show was great. You know, I hated it for Alex. You know, Alex had a great run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I guarantee you, Alex was like, counting down the laps, being like, hurry up and finish this race. And all of a sudden, Bergman slides him.
I know. I feel bad for Alex. You know, Alex is such a good guy. And you know, he supports the regions like nobody's business. And he kind of hates it when a national guy comes into the region race and kind of steals it from him. But, you know, Alex will be there, I'm sure, for the speed week, you know, the mini speed week or whatever we're going to have in June. And he'll give the national guys all they want.
Yeah, for sure. So lastly, I kind of want to leave with this. We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, World Racing Group's vision for the series aligning with something that you wanted to be a part of and is why you made the move. If you care to speak on it, I'm curious. I know you personally have a passion for the American Sprint Car Series and what it has been in this area for a long time, most of our lives. You personally, what are your goals and aspirations and vision for the American Sprint Car Series moving forward in this new, we'll call this new generation of the series?
You know, I think it's cliche, but you kind of want it to get a little old school. You know, I think, you know, we all remember it in its heyday, you know, whether it was late 2000s or, you know, with Gary Wright and Shane Stewart and Jason Johnson and Wayne Johnson and Brady Bacon and Tony Bruce Jr. and Hafer Teep Jr. And, you know, there's so many people that, you know, I remember when I worked for Brady on the ASCS tour, you know, Sean McClellan, when he ran the national stuff, you know, it was amazing racing wherever you went. Like at the time I could care less about 410 racing. You know, but we're from Oklahoma, so ASCS, like you said, has always been kind of the thing. You know, once 410s went away from Tulsa, like, that's all we had. That was the big cars. You know, let's go watch the big cars tonight. And so I don't want to say that I want to go back in time, but I think I want to, you know, I think our goal is to make the national series a national series. You know, and whether – I'm not saying going coast to coast or anything, but, you know, give those guys enough races – to make a living at running 360 stuff. And then that way you can get your regionals back to where they need to be. Because, you know, back in the day, the Sooner region was stout.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 25 cars a night without any national guys around.
Yeah.
You know, because they were off racing. And that's what I want to do. You know, that's kind of the mix of being the, you know, working for the national deal, but also the series for the Sooner. You know, I would love for the Sooner to get, you know, this year's kind of, it is what it is. I mean, we're kind of dealt with the hand we got, and we're making the best of it, making some moves that I think everybody's going to be happy with. But, you know, I would love to schedule, I want more Sooner races on top of national races when the national guys can't come to those races. You know, I don't think the national guys need to run a bunch of regional shows. You know, if they want to get paid more, they need to run national shows. Right. So you got to make those guys the superstars and be extremely happy when they do come to your local track and race or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I would love the Sooner series to get back to 20 guys strong without any, not counting any national guys. And I just think that, you know, you just got to kind of look at everybody. And, you know, the big thing that a lot of people talk about is the tech, you know, and I think that's where I'll be able to come in and be strong about it because I know what we're looking at. You know, I've been on the road. I kind of see what goes on. So I think that's an advantage of mine stepping into this position. And just I'm excited about the future. You know, Lonnie is not getting the credit he deserves right now. But I'm telling you right now, I've dealt with Lonnie for 2 weeks now. And that guy is putting in the work. And I hope it shows and, you know, everything comes to fruition that we're looking at. And, you know, we got some ideas up our sleeves. And I hope some shows that we're trying to get, you know, happen. And I'm excited about the future.
I am too. It's a good time to be a 360 sprint car fan. I know there was some concern with World Racing Group purchasing it that a lot of people are like, oh, this is just going to be their new gum out series. They're going to make it 410s, this and that. But I think. For me personally, knowing you and the passion you have for 360 racing and what we grew up watching, I think it's in good hands, and I think 360 racing is going to be rejuvenated and something that's going to be here to stay.
I hope so. And I will tell you, the people at World Racing Group have no intentions to make this a 410 series. They know what they bought. They know what they're getting. And there's been no talks about, well, how do we make this a 410 series? It's every talk we've had is, how do we make 360 racing back to where it needs to be? Because they look at it as the ecosystem for their 410s. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't run a 410 with the World of Outlaws till you're 16 years old, but you can run an ASCS car when you're 14. So it gives you a chance to get in, you know, come from 305s or micros into a 360 for a few years until you can jump into a 410. And it's something that's needed. And I think it's something that's kind of overlooked at times.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I've had plenty of conversations with guys around here for years is, like you said, the ecosystem and where you can go in sprint cars. And Oklahoma is a really good place to be, like you said, between micros. And then now you have the 305s, two-barrel sprints, and then the ASCS. That can get you where you want to go. And ASCS is a key part of that.
Yeah, I agree completely, Mike.
Well, before we go, did you have anything to do with the factory stock race?
No, but I was running back up to the tower, and I heard a bunch of commotion, and I was trying to see some action, but I was too busy trying to get the sprint car ready.
So you missed all the excitement.
I did. Were you in the middle of it?
No. Me and Michael were watching it from the grandstands. We weren't. But I know it was there was the first and second were racing pretty hard.
Yeah, it was the finish, but there was 0.036 seconds, and then
there were some lap cars that got roughed up.
Yeah, there were lap cars that got roughed up with them, and then like one of the lap cars
wrecked the winner after the race was over.
It was some typical Creek County Speedway factory stock drama.
That's when you call it Creek Adega.
Yeah. I seen after that race, like a lot of people left because that's why they were there for. It was not for them, not you guys.
I promise.
It was awesome.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a good factory stock race anywhere across this country.
It was a great race. It really was.
Oh, yeah. It was like kept taking shots at him on the outside. It was, and then pinned him with a lap car. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
The lap car just wasn't happy about it.
I was trying to get something else done, but I heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, what is going on? And then I saw security running around. I was like, oh.
Travis was making fun of me because I knew one of the guys, and I'm like yelling at him to go to the top, quit following. And I'm yelling, and Travis is – he just turned around.
He was yelling in my ear.
Well, Travis just turns around, and he looks at me, and he goes, you know they can't hear you, right? I was like, yeah, I know.
I mean, you got to try.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, like I said, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with a good factory stock race. So.
I didn't see it. I'm sad now. I'm going to have to find somebody to tell me all about it.
Find somebody's Facebook Live somewhere.
Yeah, something.
Well, Cody, man, we appreciate your time, and we wish you the best of luck the rest of this season on your new endeavor, and good luck this weekend racing, and enjoy being behind the wrenches for another weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully we'll see you at a track soon.
Yep. All right, bud.
Let us know if you need anything.
Oh, I need somebody to come run the scales. Travis, you in?
No. Hey,
I don't do numbers.
I usually go the other way when I see scales.
I hear you.
All right, man. We'll see you.
I'll handle it.
It's always fun talking to Cody. And so, Travis, you going to work the scales?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're doing show. We're still doing a show.
Yeah, you're taking your headset
off. I'm so used to having the break.
Well, you need a break?
You don't need a break.
Well, how about a quick commercial?
Thank God I didn't say anything.
Well, hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, you can say whatever you want.
I'm going home.
Danny Smith, owner of Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros, makes automotive service and tire buying simpler. Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros offers payment options with or without credit. Payments starting as low as $40. The program is available for both car repairs and tires. Tire Pros, hassle-free guaranteed. Find out more at samedayautorepair.com.
No payment options or guaranteed options available to those who qualify. See store for complete details.
Same Day Auto Repair.
Whether you're looking for countertop for your new property or your remodeling needs, Permastone has you covered. At Permastone Countertop Solutions, you can choose from a large collection of the best countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma. From the selection of your countertop to its installation, their experts will help you with everything. Choose from a range of quartz, marble, granite countertops for your residential or commercial property. You can check out PermastoneTulsa.com to get with them and get their numbers. You can give them a call, get a free estimate or an in-home consultation, and let them show you how perfect countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma can transform your home. That's Permastone Countertop Solutions. Check them out at PermastoneTulsa.com. And we're back. Fast Points Podcast, episode 165. Still got Travis in the bathroom, but got good old Lane here. Lane, I know you were out at Creek County Speedway this weekend. Got to watch that A feature.
Oh, yeah.
How was it from your vantage point?
It was pretty good.
So I know there was a lot of talk about, the track, the track changing or guys not setting their cars upright. But for me, man, that was just like nostalgic Creek County Speedway.
It's like classic Creek County. I don't know why people are mad.
Yeah. No, like that's what you got to do, man. Like sometimes
drive it harder.
Sometimes the track is like that and you can have mid race where it like pulls moisture out. And then sometimes it slicks off in a hurry. And
if they were complaining about the track last weekend, then they should have seen it the week before that.
Oh.
It was even better.
Yeah, it was even better.
And it changed even faster.
Yeah.
Well, how technical do you think Creek is compared to some other tracks?
It's more technical than most. I think that's why a lot of people don't like it.
I think I would agree. And I think just the shape of it, the paperclip at 1 and 2 with the banking, the more sweeping 3 and 4 that's flatter. I don't know, man.
But once it clicks and you figure it out, it's fun.
It's so much fun. So much fun, man.
I like it.
I do too. Like I tell everybody, like my favorite turn is turn 4 there where you're using, you know, right when you're rubbing the wall.
So
anyways.
Yeah. We talked about it there, you know, Seth Bergman winning, dude. It was, your top three, Seth Bergman.
You've had two good weekends. You've had two really good weekends there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The OCRS race, we've already talked about it on the last episode, but it was good there.
Yeah. I'm very excited to,
Thursday, right, Lane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the midgets. But you're on the sprint car, but the midgets will be there, right?
I'm dumb.
Midgets are the support class.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I almost said like
I guess it is an OCRS show, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not a point show or something like that.
I almost said I'm a little bummed that I don't get to run there Saturday night, but you know, because we got a USL, we got our 100 lap USL race this week. But I completely forgot I'm racing Thursday night there.
Yeah, you run Thursday, Friday, right?
And we're on Thursday at Creek and Friday at Tulsa.
And then we have a non-wing show.
And I'm gonna work non-wing.
100 laps.
100 laps. Yep. So. Well,
speaking of which, that's a pretty cool trophy they got down there for that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll
talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit later. Right. But yes, it's an exciting trophy. World of Outlaws review. We had two races this past weekend. We're supposed to have two races. Friday night, Big O Speedway rained out, and then Saturday night at Kennedale Speedway Park, Carson Macedo picking up the win there. Unfortunately, and Mother Nature hasn't been too kind to the Midwest kind of swing here for the World of Outlaws. But we'll pick it back up this weekend, Friday the 29th at Thunderbird Speedway in Muskogee, Oklahoma, right down the road from us. And then Saturday the 30th, they're heading north, going up to 81 Speedway in Park City, Kansas, just north of Wichita, Kansas. So if you are in that area, you definitely don't want to miss the World of Outlaws coming. Whether it's here in Oklahoma or at Wichita.
But say Thunderbird will be excited. Dang it, I was going to ask Cody about that. How he thinks Thunderbird's going to go. Because that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the speeds.
It's going to be, it should be fast.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Power Eye, Lucas Oil National Midget League. I'm not sure if it's Lucas Oil anymore now. I'll say that. Power Eye National Midget League. It just dawned on me. I was like, I think Lucas Oil pulled out of damn near everything last year. They
had to sponsor a cup car.
Yeah, for two races. Anywho, Power Eye National Midgets. This Thursday, we just said it, Creek County Speedway on the 28th, then the 29th and 30th, Friday and Saturday, are at Port City Raceway. So got some midget action, national midget action this weekend. If with USAC, I think USAC's still off too. So, should be some good midget action going on. Sooner State Spotlight. You know, we talked about Sooner Region. Seth Bourbon picking up the win, won the B feature and the A feature. That was pretty exciting to watch. United Sprint League. We do have our first race this Saturday at Red Dirt Raceway. It is the Salute to State Fair Speedway Hero 100. 100-lap non-wing race, doing it Silver Crown style. We're going single car qualifying straight into a 100-lap A feature, no heat races.
Unless there's a B feature.
We're going to have a last chance qual. You know, if we got more than 24 cars, we're going to have a last chance qualifier. We'll take 16 and qualify into the A and then take 8 out of our last chance qualifier. It's going to be fun, man. I talked to Cody yesterday. He's pumped up about it, and I'm very eager and excited.
I hope it takes off. I hope it's good.
Me too. I hope it's it works out. Everybody likes it, and it becomes an annual deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely different. I'm getting people from 3 different states have messaged me about coming to race. I fielded a phone call yesterday about a guy wanting to come race, wanting to know if his motor was legal. We got a little bit different rules package with kind of combined rules packages. So I do field a few phone calls and met Facebook messages with people trying to make sure that they're legal to come run. And a few of them I've had to tell, you know,
no,
hey, like, I think the engine package you have is probably a disadvantage, but unfortunately the way the rules are written, it is illegal. And I'm not going to go down that road of saying, well, it's okay because I think you have less horsepower. Like, I'm just, rules are rules and is what it is.
That's fine. Whatever your stance is, just as long as it's consistent.
Yep. It will be. So, Pick'em challenge.
You already know I don't like rules with you sometimes, cause I'm the first one to call you and complain.
You have never complained. Interesting. I don't ever remember.
Oh, we'll talk about it off air. Anyways, go ahead.
So we had our Pick'em challenge. I just realized I forgot to look and see who got the points from last week. Whoever picked gravel. Who was that? Oh, Travis again.
What, did I win?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, you're up 2-0 on me and Lane. You got 2 points, and me and Lane still got nothing. So,
dude, when are we going to go eat?
I don't know.
We talk about this every week.
I don't know. We got to go play golf. We got to go eat. We could.
So, in honor of the World of Outlaws being in our neck of the woods this weekend, let's pick
World Thunderbird and 81.
31, Thunderbird and 81. So, pick order is, I went first last week, and we're tied at 0. So, Lane, you can go first this week.
That's a hard one. Kind of a toss-up going into Thunderbird.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Between who?
It's just all of them. It could be anyone.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with shots, though.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to take gravel.
I told you I was going to stay with gravel till he starts losing.
I don't know. I almost picked Macedo because he's hot, because it looked like he was back. But
see, that's where I was thinking about going.
Yeah. It's kind of like they had a great run. But like I was reading earlier, like they had like 4 straight finishes to start the year outside of the top 12.
Wow. Which is
really rough start. But looks like they got some things figured out. So
let's go Shoehart.
It's not a bad pick. Okay, well.
Do we have an open segment?
Sure.
Are you just trying to get the show over with so you can go to bed?
We can talk about whatever.
I don't have nothing. I'm just curious. We missed it.
It is almost. You were in the bathroom.
Oh.
We really didn't do one.
That's why you zoomed through it, like, get this over with before he gets out.
No.
No, you guys are ass.
No. What do you want to talk about?
I don't have nothing. I was hoping you guys had something exciting.
No.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, not really. Kind of talked about what I did this weekend. Went to, me and you were.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I just worked.
Yeah. I mean, me and you were watching ASCS from the pits. Apparently, Lane was there and we didn't even know.
He was in the suites, I think.
Yeah.
I was.
I know you were. I'm just making fun of you. Is that the same day you went golfing?
No, I went golfing yesterday morning.
No, you're so damn bougie, man. Yeah. Wish I could like hang out in suites and go golf. And
I got there after the heat races.
Hang out. High rollers.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, the week before OCRS, you were in the pits and I was actually up in the suite watching.
Oh, I know.
It sounds like you're the one with the issue.
Yeah.
No, it's 100%.
Pretty sure me and Lane can probably end up there anytime we want. Not to brag.
Travis could too.
If you were with
Michael or me.
Right?
I would probably be.
You can't get up there by yourself.
I mean,
I'm one of the passing points guys, but oh, no. That's Michael and Lane. We know that.
We do scoring up top. We're not. You don't need.
Hey, that OCRS weekend, they didn't have a hand scorer up there for the weekly stuff. So. Mm-hmm. I think Matt was filling in and hand scoring. And I told Brandon, they only had one junior mini stock that showed up. And I said, hey, I'll hand score the junior minis if you want. He didn't find it as funny as I did. Because that's about the capabilities of hand scoring I got.
That's funny. Yeah.
No, we've had whole episodes on how people hand score.
Well, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I've done it. Mm. I've done a sprint car race. And I'll never do it again.
Mm. Yeah. Anyways.
Good talk.
You don't know how you don't have to worry about ever doing hand scoring?
Transponders.
Nope, not bitching at the people that hand score.
Right.
Yeah. slip them a 20.
I'll tell you what's really hard is you get up top and try to figure out what the numbers are on these non-wing cars. I mean, like, where I can benefit.
I thought you were going to say full body cars because they're all so beat up.
Dude, no, they weren't. That's the one thing I did notice. There were a bunch of smooth bodies for the first race of the year.
It's March.
Yeah. I was like, Dad, look at that.
Yeah.
Everyone's sheet metal shiny right now.
Yep. Well, there was a few from last year, but yeah, most of them.
My bad. Everyone's sheet metal is shiny or their Krylon is fresh.
The duct tape hadn't dry rotted yet.
Yeah. Can't see the gray straps in the duct tape. The little white strings coming out.
Jeez. I was telling somebody that this weekend. I was like, I really need some more derogatory terms for cars.
Shit boxes.
Well, no, I mean, even for the sprint
sheet
cars, too.
Boats.
You want new ones, huh?
Yeah, I want new ones. Because I find them funny. I think they're hilarious. Some of them are cool.
The hard part.
Let's make some up.
It's hard to talk shit about sprint cars because they're cool.
Hey, I did. Dad told me this weekend he went to O'Reilly's. He went to get me an oil filter. Like, I was doing maintenance on the car Saturday. Get ready for this Thursday, and I was doing all my engine maintenance. I'm running the valves, changing oil, and like I'm grabbing oil off the shelf, and I told Dad, I was like, you want to make a parts store run? He's like, why? And I was like, I don't see an oil filter anywhere. So send Dad to
get 510-61R.
Yeah, well, that's what he goes in there and tells this kid at the counter. He wants the 510-61R, and the guy's first, he needs to know what car it's on. Dad's like, you don't need to know what car, I just told you the part number.
I need the one that you can't get on the fucking shelf.
So then he's tells him 510-61R. Well, then I guess he's looking up the regular 510-61. Says, oh, I can have one Tuesday. And where those particular oil filters are at the O'Reilly's in Glenpool, you can see them sitting on the shelf from standing
from
the
behind
counter.
The like and, the sales counter, like, not the on the shelf. So I know where you're talking about.
Dad goes, well, why don't you just do me a favor and go right back there and get me two of those that are sitting right there on the shelf. And he so he goes and grabs them. And he comes back, he goes, I mean, I don't see the 510-61, but I do have these ones that have R's on them. And Dad's like, that's what I asked for. Well, then come to find out, Dad goes to put it on our Tyree Racing account, and well, I guess the guy's friends with a kid that races B mods, and he told Dad that, oh, Dad said, oh yeah, we race sprint cars. And he goes, oh yeah, B mods are way better than sprint cars.
They are.
And I was like,
dude, that kid definitely works in a Glenpool O'Reilly. You can tell.
Yeah. Oh, Dad comes back and tells me, he's like, I had the most interesting time at O'Reilly's.
I hope he's listening.
He ain't listening, because
B-mods suck, and you need to stop asking what wiper blades the car goes on, or what the car the wiper blades go on.
Last time I went to buy those filters.
And if it's four-wheel drive or not.
Yeah.
Last time I went to buy those filters, I bought two of them.
I will say,
that way I can change the oil at halfway this race we got going this weekend. It's so damn long.
Oh, it'd be hot enough. You could probably do it.
Yeah. That's going to be the, like, how many cooling systems are going to melt down?
Yeah. I mean, if it works right, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Tell Brett to get off the damn cushion sometimes and let
I'm going to go hang out at the Glenpool O'Reilly's until I hear a stupid comment now.
He walks in, turns around, comes back out. Hey,
if we hurry, they close in 11 minutes. If we hurry up in this show, you can make it down there.
Think we can get one in?
Yeah. You want to give it a try? Let's go for it.
All right. You're in the show?
Heck yeah, we're going to O'Reilly's.
All right. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
All right. Well,
sounds like a party.
Thanks to our partner, Same Day Auto Repair.
What do you guys do on Monday nights?
Thank you to Speed Stick Shocks for allowing us to do our interview with Cody Cordell. And
I go to Advance.
Thank you to everyone out there for listening.
I don't think they have Wix.
This would be a great ad for AutoZone right now.
Passing Points Podcast.
Napa's out there too.
We'll talk to you next week. Oh, that's shit.
Danny Smith.
That's not how you end the show. That's how.
You really need to go Car and Fleet to get your filters. You're going to the wrong place.
Well, yeah, but it was.
That was your old man's first mistake.
After Car and Fleet closed on Saturday.
Oh.
Oh. So. All right, now you can end the show. I just want to make sure everybody knows, go Car and Fleet instead.
Okay, well, hey.
Mike will take care of you.
Just remember, a train wreck's a spectator sport.
Passing Points Podcast is produced by MTR Performance Media. Please follow and like us on social media at Passing Points Podcast on Facebook, at Passing_Points on Twitter, and at Passing Points Podcast on Instagram.